Well, good morning, High Point. Before we get started, just one little thing. I am dealing with a sinus issue. So I'm not contagious. I feel good. Just got stuff in the throat, stuff in the nose. It is the season, right? So if you hear a key change or two in my voice during the sermon, just bear with me. The Holy Spirit has us, and he'll get us through. Amen?
Amen?
So let me echo TW and wish you Happy New Year. It is 2024, and we're already 6 days out of 2024. 6 days are gone. How's everybody doing? Whenever we come to a new year, the first thing we like to do is we like to make resolutions or goals, if you wish, ways that we want to improve ourselves. So I thought I'd help us out by suggesting maybe a few things, and one of these might speak to you as something you'd like to work on this year. So the first one is, in 2024, I will embrace the chaos and aspire to make my bed at least once a month. Does that speak to me? No? Okay. Well, how about this one? I will practice the fine art of remembering at least twice a week where I left my keys. Is that okay? Got one. That's good. That speaks to you. I'm going to aim to become a morning person by hitting snooze only 5 times instead of 10. So if you're not a morning person, that might be one that you're going to work on. This one is for anyone who cooks, or maybe you want to cook more this year. I'm going to experiment with new recipes with a goal to cook something that actually looks like the recipe picture. And this last one, I know at least one person might speak to at least one person, because I know that I know several of us use Netflix, Hulu, Prime, any of the streaming services. In 2024, I promise to resist the urge to start a new TV series until I finish at least one that I've already started. Now, obviously, these aren't meant to be taken seriously, but we do make our goals and resolutions at the beginning of the year because we want to be better. Whether it's getting rid of a bad habit or starting a good one, getting to a task or activity that we didn't complete last year. Now, these are all good things, and we should think about the year and how it's going to be better and how we can be better in the next year. But in our lesson today, Jesus is going to challenge us to take a much deeper look in our life and make an even stronger resolution that if we're truly followers of his, we'll live by his words. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just come before you, Father, and just ask that you take hold of all of us during this time. As we examine your word, let your word speak to us in a way that will move us to action, and not just be words that we hear and think are nice, but move us to change, move us to become more like Jesus. Let your spirit flow through this place and speak to each person, including myself, as you need to. You have a word for all of us, and may we hear that word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Sorry for that. Today, we're closing out our series in the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been in for a while, so that we can understand what it means to live as a follower of Jesus. Several weeks ago, before we did our Advent series, TW shared with us really a very difficult to hear passage found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, when Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he tells us many will say, 'Lord, did we not prophesy and cast out demons and do mighty works in your name?' And Jesus will respond to them, 'I never knew you, only your works of lawlessness. Depart from me.'" 3 words we hope we never hear Jesus say to us. And honestly, I'm not sure today's passage is going to be any easier. Jesus is going to close out his sermon by connecting what he's just said with a parable that illustrates the difference between those who truly follow his words and those who don't. So getting into our text today, Matthew writes this in chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will become like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will become like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus used parables as illustrations, as stories, so that those who sought to understand what he meant, what he was talking about, those who actually sought the truth could understand it. And for those who didn't seek the truth, those who weren't looking, they would just be stories. You know, why is he talking about coins and farming and sheep and what is all this? It's just stories. But for those who are looking for the truth, they'd be able to connect the dots. So let's look at these two characters in this parable. We have one who's called wise and one who's called foolish. And believe it or not, there's actually things that they have in common. So the first thing we want to look at that these two have in common is that both of them heard the word of God. They heard the message directly from Jesus. If you'll remember at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, it says he had to go up on the mountainside because of the crowds. So obviously this was a big enough crowd that he had to go on a higher point to make sure that he message got to all of them. And there were likely people that would come and listen as he was preaching. And likely in the crowd, there were going to be people who merely heard the foolish and people who heard and followed the wise. If you're someone who likes to mark in your Bible, I'm of mixed. I understand the value of it, but I'm not a good marker in books. If you ever knew me in college, in my textbooks, I'd want to make sure I had the important points, but the problem is I had a hard time distinguishing what the points were. So if you ever looked at one of my old textbooks, there'd be an entire page of like blue and yellow and highlights and crazy. But if you are someone who highlights in their Bible, I would highlight the word and. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be wise. So two parts, hearing and doing, which is mentioned here. And also in James, remember when we did our weekday Christianity series? We studied that earlier last year. Both men heard the word. They heard the information. So the information is not the disconnect between these two. And we come to church, we hear a sermon, maybe we're even moved by it. So both men heard the word. So you'd think their results would be the same, right? Jesus says there are different outcomes depending on if you hear my words and do them, or if you hear but do not do them. The second thing they have in common is that both of them built houses. They were both dreamers. They wanted to build a house. And from the outside, their houses looked exactly the same. Using Jesus' illustration, what is a house in our life? Jesus obviously using the analogy of a physical building and putting it on a foundation. But spiritually, what do we mean when we say house? Well, a family is called a household. In 1 Timothy, the church is called the house of the living God. And even in our political system, we call it the House of Representatives or the White House. So a house can be anything that we build into our lives. It's basically everything that goes in. When Jesus is saying the wise and foolish man built their houses, he's talking about their foundation, but it doesn't mention what doors they use or the flooring or the windows. both the wise and the foolish heard the word, but in this passage, wisdom and foolishness isn't defined by what you know. Some very educated people that could quote the Bible backwards and forwards, and they've studied, and they know the Greek, and they know the Hebrew. But Jesus said, that's not the most important thing. Yes, I want you to hear my words, but I want you to do them. I want you to take them with you in your lives. Lost my place. They both heard the word, but in this passage, it's not defined by what they know. Jesus' audience were following false teachers who outwardly looked the same as the good teachers, but inwardly, they were not. So that's one thing we have to be careful of, is that someone who's merely preaching the word and then someone who lives by the word may look the same on the outside. But earlier in Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus tells us to watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. So it's the quality of their lives and what they do with the words of Jesus is how you will be able to tell a true follower. Then the last similarity between the two is that the storm, floods, and winds hit both houses. Regardless of what we do with God's word, the storms are coming. That's why it's dangerous to believe in any teaching that says being a follower of Christ means an easy life, free of challenge. In fact, following Jesus can be more difficult. Sometimes the storms come without warning, others we prepare for. Poor weathermen. We always like to poke fun at them because they tell us, oh no, storm's coming, and then we get a few drops of rain. Like, thanks, weatherman, that really helped. I bought every loaf of bread in the store, and now there's only a few drops of rain. Now, sometimes they're right, and whether or not their prediction actually comes true, there's something to be said in this passage about preparing for a storm, and we'll get to that. But yeah, sometimes the storms hit without us even realizing it, and sometimes we're given enough warning that the storm is coming so that we can prepare. Sorry. So then Jesus in the passage talks about each foundation. The wise man built his house on the rock, while the foolish man put his house directly on the sand. Anybody remember the Bible school song? Anybody grow up with that? The wise man built his house upon the rock. As a kid, whenever you would sing that song, your favorite part was when they got to the foolish man. And it talked about the rains came down and the floods came up and the foolish man's house went splat. That was the favorite part as a kid. That was the one we waited to get to. So let's look at the difference in each of these using the words Jesus has just spoken. When he says, everyone who hears these words of mine, he's talking about the sermon he just preached. So let's go back to it. The first difference in these two foundations is how deep they went to create their foundation. The wise man dug deep because he knew that for his life to hold up against the storm, he understood that this would be a difficult process and would involve a change of heart and would come at a great cost. See, following Jesus costs something. What Jesus asks us to do and the way he asks us to live, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, is so against what our culture is teaching right now. It's very radical, and it's getting more and more uncomfortable to become a Christian. But that uncomfortableness is a good thing because of our foundation. He understood that this is going to be difficult, but the foolish man was content with the easy path. What I call up here surface level legalism. He's okay with doing the right actions, the right things, but with no effect on his heart or his life. You know, if he can do the bare minimum and take the easy road and just slap the house right directly on sand, he's good with that. But to build on rock, you have to dig deep into the foundation, especially the bigger the house, the building is. But the wise man doesn't have, the foolish man doesn't have time for that. He's okay with surface level. Now, I want to look at the Gospel of Luke because it also shows this parable. And I want to look at it because Luke uses a couple of descriptors that aren't found in Matthew, though the message is still the same. So on the screen, I've actually broken up the text because I want to look first at what each of these men did, and then later we'll come back to the result. So in chapter 6, in the first part of 48, he says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." Contrast that with the foolish man. "But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation." Now, Luke specifically says, without a foundation. But if you were to build a house and put it on sand, it's essentially no foundation. Everyone here like going to the beach? Anyone enjoy going to the beach? Beaches are wonderful. They can be a serene getaway, or you can play in the water, or who's ever built a sandcastle as a kid, or if you have kids. Building a sandcastle is a fun thing. Or maybe you just like to take a walk throughout the beach. Now, as you're walking, what happens to your feet when it's on the sand? Well, first of all, they burn off because it's incredibly hot. But that's not the point. They sink. They sink into the sand. Building a sandcastle is a lot of fun. But when you come back the next morning, is it still going to be there? Maybe not, because the tide has taken it. Or some mean kid or some mean adult may have come by and just knocked it over. Rude. But building a sandcastle is fun, but its foundation is not set. So it may not be there the next morning. See, a foundation is supposed to hold the weight of the building that it's on. If I stood on a cardboard box, it's not going to hold my weight. I would fall over. I have to have something sturdier. When they build skyscrapers, and I looked this up, the foundation can be dug anywhere from 50 to as much as 400 feet below the ground, depending on how tall the skyscraper is. Would you walk into the UT Tower if it was built on sand? Would you want to stay in that building if a storm was coming? Spiritually, that's the way it is too. The person who's wise knows that you have to dig deep when building your life on Jesus. Like the song we sang last week, "I will build my life upon your love." It is a firm foundation. In chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus' words go deeper than what was being said to the people at the surface level. So I'm just going to list these and briefly mention them. A surface level foundation is only concerned with not murdering, not committing adultery, understanding that there's a justifiable way, reason to get even, and only loving those that return that love. So again, surface level, legalism. As long as I don't kill anyone, as long as I don't commit adultery, as long as I don't do the wrong things, then that's really all I'm interested in. But Jesus, again, going back to being doers of the word, tells us he goes deeper into the heart. Don't even have anger in your heart. Don't even have lust in your heart. Don't even have vengeance in your heart. And even when they don't love you back, even if they're your enemies, you're called to love them. To build on the foundation of Jesus is not just doing good things, but first digging deep and changing your heart from the inside out. The next difference we see in the builders is that while the wise man is seeking to become righteous, the foolish man is only interested in appearing righteous. Let's look at the first verse of Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Again, both wise man and foolish man are practicing righteousness. The houses look the same, but why are they doing it? In chapter 6, Jesus teaches that the acts of prayer and giving and fasting aren't for public display. He repeats the phrase over and over, your Father will see what is done in secret and reward you. See, the foolish man wants his life and his good deeds to be seen by everyone, but the wise man is only interested in pleasing God. When you go throughout your week, when you interact with your family, your friends, your coworkers, your church family, are you serving them as a way to honor God, or are you only seeking, are you seeking his approval or theirs? And then the last difference I want to point out is that the wise man finds treasure only in the things of Christ, while the foolish man looks for treasure in the world. I want to quickly look at the text from Matthew 6 to show you what that looks like, starting in verse 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In verse 24, same chapter, Matthew writes, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And then finally in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. See, the foolish man's concerned about what he can get. He finds value in stuff. Now, it's not just material possessions, but it's people, it's the accolades, it's the power, it's everything. But the wise man understands when laying a foundation, often people start with their education or how they were raised, their background, and they build their houses around that and then go back and say, oh, I need to add some Jesus. Scripture is calling us to seek first his kingdom and the righteousness. The call of this passage is if we're going to be like the wise man and truly follow Jesus, then the lives we build must start with him. The foolish man is only interested in building his life around everything he can get, while the wise man builds his life around one thing, the kingdom and the righteousness of God. Finally, let's look at what happens to each foundation. From the second part of Luke 6, going back there. The second part of verse 48 says, the wise man's foundation, Luke's wording, and when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. What about the foolish man? Well, the second part of verse 49 says, when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The New International Version translates that, and its destruction was complete. Remember when we said that the wise and foolish man's house looked alike? Two lives side by side appear exactly the same, but it's through the storm that we find out what our lives are really built on. If you just go inside a house or look at it surface level, you won't be able to tell whether a wise or foolish man built it. But when the storms come and you come back and look at that house, based on which one's standing, you'll know who built that house and what foundation that they used. It's through the storm that we find that out. Again, Jesus, he's using here the physical example of weather, but storms can be any trial or hardship that comes in our lives. Sometimes we cause our own storms, like maxing out a credit card or making a financial decision and suddenly we're in a financial storm. We're not perfect. We're gonna get it wrong. And sometimes the storms are because of things that we did. But other times the storms come out of nowhere. or sometimes the storms are caused by the actions of others. But regardless of the type of storm, if our foundation is built on the living words of Jesus, we may have to replace a door, glass from a window, or the tiles, or the carpet from a storm because of the flooding. But if we live on the words of Jesus, our house will stay firm. But if we don't, as the NIV translates it, the destruction of the house will be complete. The reason a foundation of sand doesn't work is because when the winds come and beat against it, the foundation shifts, which causes the building to shift and eventually fall. To follow the words and teachings, to follow the world's teachings, is to follow a foundation that has shifted over the last 2,000 years. See, what people in the world teach us is important, and the values they live by today in 2024 aren't the same as the values that they lived in 1980 or 1970 or 1960. It's constantly changing. But during that time, during that 2,000 years, the words of Jesus have never changed. The Christians in Jesus' time heard the exact same message and stood on the same message that we stand on today. His foundation never shifts. If you are facing storms, you will experience wounds. You may have to replace some doors or windows or walls or flooring. And I like the way the NIV translates everyone who does these words of mine, because it says everyone who puts them into practice. Because we're in the world, because we are flesh as well as spirit, we're going to mess it up, which means we need to constantly go back and check. This is not a set your foundation on Christ one time and then you can walk away and forget it. This is an everyday thing, and sometimes we're going to get it wrong. So we need to make sure that every day our foundation is firm. But if we do that, and we build our lives by making everything we do in obedience to what Jesus has said, no matter what your storm you're going through in your life, your house is not going to fall. It will stand firm. So what is your life built on? Every person you interact with this week, every action you take, everything that you do, what is that going to be based on? Popular opinion, education, what your family or church has always taught you, or is it going to be on Jesus? T.W. read earlier from Psalm 118 that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The cornerstone has to be set before all the other walls can be put into place in the house. By the way, it's also translated the capstone, which means Jesus is at the head. So that means that Jesus is going to be at the head and he's going to be at the bottom. The bottom meaning supporting everything that we do. Everything that we do is built on him. He holds the weight of our lives. And if he doesn't, and the rains come and our foundation is on anything else, the house is going to fall with a great crash or go splat. Everything else depends on the cornerstone. So let's be a people who live our lives by the words of Jesus and look to him as our foundation. If we do that, when the storms of life come and people ask, how did you get through that? Our lives will reveal the answer. As the old hymn says, we build our foundation on Jesus, then we can say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's sing, church.